This is the daily radio ministry of Pastor Sandy Adams of Calvary Chapel, Stone Mountain in Atlanta, Georgia. Pastor Sandy is currently teaching through the book of Leviticus. And now here's Pastor Sandy in the book of Leviticus, chapters 14 through 17.
Once Jesus entered a certain village, and there he met 10 lepers who were crying out to him for mercy. We're told in Luke 17 that when Jesus saw the lepers, he said to them, "Go show yourself to the priests." And so it was that as they went, they were cleansed. Hey, all 10 lepers were healed. And Jesus sent them to the priest to be declared clean so that they could begin a new life. But as they set out for the temple, only one of the healed lepers returned to thank Jesus for the miracle. And that's when Jesus asked, "Were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? 2,000 years later, millions of people the world over have now been healed by Jesus. But if we listen to him, I think we can still hear him ask, "Didn't I heal John and Jim? Didn't I save Beverly and Becky? Didn't I comfort Andy and Ashley? But where are they now?" Guys, are we among the 9 nowhere to be found? Or are we among the few who have taken the time to say thanks to Jesus for his cleansing power in our lives? This is the obvious, applicable lesson that springs from Luke chapter 17 that we need to be grateful. But in this story, there are a few more subtle lessons that we need to understand. First, Jesus sent these healed lepers to the priest to make their cleansing official. As we learned last week in Leviticus chapter 13, the priest had the responsibility of inspecting for leprosy. They were the ones that actually diagnosed a leprosy. And so, for these 10 men, they needed to return to the priest so that they could be pronounced clean and so that they could rejoin the community. That's interesting. For Jesus was not only concerned about their healing, he was interested in their reconciliation to the community. That's why he sent them back to the priest. You see, the work of Jesus is always about not just restoring us to God, but also restoring us to each other. And yet I think there's even a more fascinating reason why Jesus sent these 10 lepers back to the priest to be pronounced clean. For when they got to the temple and the priest observed their healing and confirmed it, he then performed a ritual. And in that ceremony, these 10 recipients of grace saw a beautiful picture, a symbolic, typological picture of Jesus, of both his crucifixion and his resurrection. In other words, they got a glimpse of the work of Jesus that would ultimately pay for their healing and that ultimately pays for ours. Which brings us to Leviticus chapter 14, which describes that ritual that depicts so beautifully the work of Jesus Christ. Verse 1, "Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, 'This shall be the law of the leper for the day of his cleansing. He shall be brought to the priest, and the priest shall go out of the camp.'" That's where the lepers lived, outside the camp. "And the priest shall examine him, and indeed, if the leprosy is healed in the leper, then the priest shall command to take for him who is to be cleansed 2 living and clean birds, cedar wood, scarlet, and hyssop." Now, Jesus healed countless lepers. We remember that from the Gospels. In fact, it was one of the signs that he gave to John the Baptist that he was indeed the Messiah. But prior to the coming of Jesus, healings of lepromatous, or that malignant, lethal form of leprosy, were rare. In fact, there's only one recorded healing of leprosy in all of the Old Testament. You remember the story? A Syrian general by the name of Naaman obeyed Elijah's commands, and he dipped himself in that dirty, muddy Jordan River 7 times. He thought, "What in the world am I doing?" Until he came up that 7th time, and all of a sudden, we're told, his flesh was restored like the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. But there's another form of leprosy. There's a leprosy known as tuberculoid leprosy, which was benign. It would plague a person for 1 to 3 years, and then it would naturally disappear. And it was in the cases of this miraculous healing or in this natural healing that the former leper would come and be inspected by the priest so that he could be readmitted to society. If indeed he had been cleansed, then the priest offered a sacrifice involving 5 ingredients. Actually 6 if you count the 2 birds, but 2 birds, a few pieces of cedar, a strand of scarlet thread, and a branch from a hyssop plant. Verses 5-7 provide us what we might call a bird's eye view of Jesus' crucifixion and resurrection. He says, "And the priest shall command that one of the birds be killed in an earthen vessel over running water." Isn't that what happened to the Son of God? He flew from heaven, and he came in an earthen vessel. He was made in the form of a man. He took on human flesh, and he nested in a tree, didn't he? In a tree made of wood, in a Roman cross. And there Jesus was killed for your sin and for my sin. His death was not a waste. In Jesus Christ, he was crucified over running water. And thus, that running water now flows the merits of his work down through the centuries all across the continents. Actually, water in the scripture is a type of the Word of God. Running water or living water is a type of the Holy Spirit. And so the Word of God predicted his death. The Spirit of God transmits its effects throughout the ages. The Word and the Spirit combine to bring the water of Calvary, the cleansing flow of Jesus Christ, down to us today. Verse 6 tells us, "As for the living bird, he shall take it, the cedar wood and the scarlet and the hyssop, and dip them and the living bird in the blood of the bird that was killed over the running water." And notice these items that accompany the birds. They're for the birds. The cedar wood reminds us, of course, of the cross, the wood to which Jesus was nailed. The strand of scarlet is the color of blood, which was the payment for our sin, the blood. The hyssop branch reminds us of the Roman soldiers who dipped a sponge in sour wine. They tied it to a hyssop branch, and then they lifted it to Jesus' mouth just to moisten his lips so he could utter his final words, "It is finished," literally paid in full. Now the priest takes this living bird, the cedar wood, the scarlet, the hyssop, and he shall sprinkle the blood of the first bird 7 times on him who is to be cleansed from the leprosy, and shall pronounce him clean, and shall let the living bird loose in the open field. Jesus is the bird that died for our sin, but Jesus is no longer dead, is he? He's no longer dead. He has risen from the dead, for he is also the living bird who was turned loose in the open field. Both speak of Jesus. Yes, Jesus died, but don't you dare leave him in the grave. Many people do that, you know. Oh yeah, they count his work on the cross as forgiveness for their sin, but do they walk with him today? Do they realize he's alive? Do they realize that he's also a living bird who wants to nest in our lives, who wants to do great things in our heart? Don't you leave him in the grave. Today he is alive and he's on the loose. He's the bird that's been turned loose in the open field. He's a living Savior and he's busy cleansing folks from the leprosy of sin. You know, we're guilty of a big mistake. We've made bunny rabbits the symbol for Easter. We need to forget bunnies. A better Easter symbol is a bird that's living and that's on the loose. Hey, what a picture of the crucifixion and resurrection of our Lord Jesus. If you don't see these beautiful portraits, if you don't see in these rituals the resurrection, the crucifixion and the resurrection of Jesus, I suppose you're just a bird brain. What can I say? Verse 8 says, "He who is to be cleansed shall wash his clothes, shave off all his hair, and wash himself in water, that he may be clean." Now, historically speaking, this was a sanitary precaution that protected from the spreading of the leprosy. if there was some lingering remnant of the disease, if there was anything still active, this would prohibit its spreading, this washing. But I also think this is a picture of everyone who's been cleansed from the leprosy called sin. Hey, when Jesus washes away our sin, we become a new creation, don't we? Jesus says we've been born again. We become as pure as the skin of a newborn baby. You remember when Naaman, we read that earlier, when he rose up out of the water, it says that his skin was as clean as that of a newborn child. That's how Jesus sees you. When you become a Christian, when you give your life to Christ, you're cleansed on the inside. You become as clean, as pure as the skin of a newborn child. You are born again. This was why the former leper then shaved off his adult hair, washed all of his clothes. He looked like a grape, I guess. But he was starting over. That was the meaning of the shaving. He was starting over. All things had become new to him. After that, he shall come into the camp and shall stay outside his tent 7 days. But on the seventh day, he shall shave all the hair off his head and his beard and his eyebrows. All his hair shall be shaved off. He shall wash his clothes and wash his body in water, and he shall be clean. After 7 days, he shaved again. And you know, as Christians, I think we need to shave over and over again. We need to always approach God, not with our adult cynicism, not with our adult skepticism, not with our adult doubts and fears. We need to approach Jesus. We need to shave off those adult attitudes, and we need to approach him with a freshness and a newness and the innocence of a little child. Jesus told us to come with the faith of a child. Hey, when you think you know it all, when you think you've finally arrived, that you're an adult, that you're mature, you need to shave again. Remember your former leprosy and approach God humbly. And on the eighth day, he shall take 2 male lambs without blemish, 1 ewe lamb. And remember, old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become you. New, you. The leper was clean, brand new, fresh start. Notice what you've got here. You've got a ewe, and you've got 2 male lambs. You've got a ewe and a 2. I guess you put them, you could call it U2. It should be a ewe lamb of the first year without blemish, 3/10 of an ephah of fine flour mixed with oil as a grain offering, and 1 log of oil. The ephah was a dry measure. It was about a bushel. The log was a liquid measure, about a pint. Then the priest who makes him clean shall present the man who is to be made clean and those things before the Lord at the door of the tabernacle of meeting. And the priest shall take 1 male lamb and offer it as a trespass offering and the log of oil and wave them as a wave offering before the Lord. Now, why do we call it a wave offering? Because you wave it. You guys are getting it. Then he shall kill the lamb in the place where he kills the sin offering and the burnt offering in a holy place. For as the sin offering is the priest, so is the trespass offering. It is most holy. Now the priest shall take some of the blood of the trespass offering, and the priest shall put it on the tip of the right ear of him who is to be cleansed, on the thumb of his right hand, and on the big toe of his right foot. Remember, takes the blood, puts it on the tip of his right ear, thumb of his right hand, big toe of his right foot. Remember Leviticus 8, this was also how the priests were dedicated. In other words, he was saying that I belong to God from head to toe. That all that I am is going to be dedicated to God. You know, since the majority of people are right-handed, God here deals with their right side or their strengths. So many of us are quick to dedicate our weaknesses to God, but are we just as quick to dedicate our strengths? It's the right ear. It's the right thumb. It's the right big toe. Hey, dedicate your ear to God. Do it tonight. Dedicate your ear to God to listen to his word. Dedicate your thumb or your hands to God to do his will. Dedicate your feet to God to walk in his ways. Dedicate your ears. Dedicate your hands. Dedicate your feet. Be dedicated to God from head to toe. Now, since the leper was healed by God, he should show his life, his dedication. He should show his gratitude to God by living a dedicated life. And this is how we also show our gratitude to God, by dedicating all that we are to him. Well, the priest shall take some of the log of oil and pour it into the palm of his own left hand. Then the priest shall dip his right finger in the oil that is in his left hand and shall sprinkle some of the oil with his finger 7 times before the Lord. And of the rest of the oil in his hand, the priest shall put some on the tip of the right ear of him who is to be cleansed, on the thumb of his right hand and on the big toe of his right foot, on the blood of the trespass offering. Notice this, it's important. The oil goes on top of the blood. Did you notice that? The oil goes on top of the blood. And of course, the oil is a symbol of what? The Holy Spirit. So notice, the oil is not placed where the blood has not been applied. And that's a strategic principle throughout Scripture. The Holy Spirit will not anoint and empower what the blood of Jesus has not previously cleansed. You know, there are all kind of people today, all kind of New Age practitioners and sorcerers and occultists and so forth who run around claiming to have God's power, the Spirit of God flowing through them. They talk about the Spirit, but they deny the necessity of the blood of Jesus. Hey, their power is not from the Holy Spirit, for the Holy Spirit only anoints what the blood has cleansed. The oil goes only over what's already been covered with the blood. Here's another application. I think it's possible to assume that all we need is the power of the Holy Spirit. Sometimes we pray that way, Lord, fill me with your power. That's what I need. But in reality, we really need to confess our sin, don't we? What our problem is not a lack of power, but there's some sin in our life. It's undermining God's work. And we need to confess our sin. And we need to ask for a fresh cleansing of the blood of Jesus in our lives. You see, God empowers only what he first cleanses. Verse 18 tells us, the rest of the oil that is in the priest's hand, he shall put on the head of him who is to be cleansed. So the priest shall make atonement for him before the Lord. And this is very interesting. In ancient Israel, there were only 4 groups of people who were anointed with oil on their head. Oil poured out on top of their head. Kings, those who ruled. Prophets, those who spoke for God. And priests, those who stood before God on behalf of the people. Remember, the word Messiah means anointed. It speaks of Jesus' ministry. He was the Messiah. His ministry as prophet, priest, and king. But it's interesting. There was a 4th group of people also anointed with oil. Not prophets, not priests, not kings. Lepers. Lepers! Can you believe it? People eaten up by sin were also anointed with oil. Hey, I think God is sending us a message that he wants to use all of us. Even cleansed lepers, even lepers that have been forgiven and cleansed of their sin. He wants to anoint all of us with his power and his peace and his joy. Some people think the Holy Spirit is only for the spiritual people. The Holy Spirit's for all of us. Kings and priests and prophets and lepers. He picks out 4 groups. And so, which of those 4 groups do you fit in? Here is a testimony of God's grace. He not only anoints and uses prophets, priests, and kings, but he also uses humble lepers who ask for his forgiveness and dedicate their lives to him. Verse 19, then the priest shall offer the sin offering and make atonement for him who is to be cleansed from his uncleanness. Afterward, he shall kill the burnt offering. And the priest shall offer the burnt offering and the grain offering on the altar. And we talked about all these offerings back in the first 5 chapters of Leviticus. So the priest shall make atonement for him, and he shall be clean. But if he is poor and cannot afford it, then he shall take. And verses 19 through 32 describe the exceptions that are made for the poor. God doesn't want to close the door on anybody. He wants everybody to be able to participate. Verse 33 tells us, "And the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron, saying, 'When you have come into the land of Canaan, which I give you as a possession, and I put the leprous plague in a house in the land of your possession.'" Now, at the time, the Israelites were in the wilderness. Thus, they were living in tents. But when they enter the land of Canaan, they're going to build houses. And every homeowner knows that there will be problems. Mold and mildew, fungus and bacteria and wood rot and carpet stains. Sound like your house? Some translations render the word leprosy as a spreading mildew. What exactly Moses has in mind here, we're not sure, but he was obviously concerned about any active infection, growing bacteria that might be spreading throughout your house, potentially making the family and the community sick. Verse 35, "And he who owns the house comes and tells the priest, saying, 'It seems to me that there is some plague in the house.' Then the priest shall command that they empty the house. Before the priest goes into it to look at the plague, that all that is in the house may not be made unclean, and afterward the priest shall go in to examine the house." And it's no different today. Whenever you invite the pastor over, you always clean out and clean up the house first. Or you should. "And he shall examine the plague. And indeed, if the plague is on the walls of the house with ingrained streaks, greenish or reddish, which appear to be deep in the wall, then the priest shall go out of the house to the door of the house and shut up the house 7 days." In other words, he quarantines the house. "And the priest shall come again on the seventh day and look. And indeed, if the plague has spread on the walls of the house, then the priest shall command that they take away the stones in which is the plague, and they shall cast them into an unclean place outside the city. And he shall cause the house to be scraped inside all around, and the dust that they scrape off they shall pour out in an unclean place outside the city. Then they shall take other stones and put them in the place of those stones, and he shall take other mortar and plaster the house." You know, it looks like a team from the EPA in protective gear removing the asbestos, you know, from your house. Now, before we go further, I have a question. And I want to direct this question to all of the men here tonight. Who is the priest in your house? You should say, "I am." If you're a husband, if you're a father, you are the priest in your house. And as a priest, one of your jobs is to continually inspect your house for leprosy. Have you been doing your job? When was the last time you made an inspection? When was the last time you went into your teenager's room and examined the walls, his posters, and her pictures, and their CDs, and the wallpaper on their cell phone and computer screen, and the music on their iPod? But that's none of my business. It is if it's in your house, if it's on your walls. Hey, any privacy that exists in my house has been granted by me. And I can take it away if I feel that an inspection is warranted. Don't you love your kids enough to root out any leprosy? Don't you love your kids enough to take away the wall rot that might be growing in their rooms?
Listening to Bible teaching here on the radio is a huge blessing that many of our brothers and sisters in other parts of the world simply don't have. We rejoice in this opportunity to share Pastor Sandy's messages with you. We do want to be sure to remind you that radio is not a church. Radio should be a complement to what God is already doing in your personal discipleship through the local body of believers that you're a part of. Maybe you're listening today and you don't have a home church. You've visited various places, but nothing seems to fit. First, if you live in the Atlanta, Georgia area, we want to personally invite you to join us for worship at Calvary Chapel Stone Mountain. We meet every Sunday morning at 9:30 and 11:15 a.m. For more information, including driving directions, please log on to sandyadams.org and follow the link to the church website. Now, if you're listening outside of the Atlanta, Georgia area and are looking for a home church, we encourage you to log on to calvarychapel.com and find a Calvary Chapel in your area that teaches through the Bible just like Pastor Sandy does each day here on this program. Well, we wish we had more time today, but we've come to the close of today's broadcast. Be sure to remember to join us again as Pastor Sandy continues teaching through God's Word. That's next time on Sandy Adams Radio.